going on.
Thank you so much.
Feel like $1 million.
Shout out TMZ, you up?
Let me check out that rig.
TMZ stands for the Mayweather Zone.
How'd you find me, bro? I got my disguise on.
I love my TMZ family. My sports.
Welcome to TMZ Sports. I'm Mike Babcock with my guy, as always, Mojo Mutati. Mojo, it was the worst kept secret. Who is going to go number one in the NFL draft? I think this has been a foregone conclusion, not just since the college football season this year, Mojo, but probably since the college football season last year as well. But finally, last night when Roger Goodell took the podium, the Chicago Bears got their man. They got their franchise quarterback. In none other than star, superstar USC quarterback Caleb Williams. I mean, Mojo, you want to talk about a guy who is pretty much perfect across the board when you talk about everything you want a quarterback to do. He is that guy, 22 years old, Mojo, and obviously the Chicago Bears, who feel like they've got a lot of good players, Mojo. They feel like finally, they have got their guy. By the way, also got Rome Odunze, who might be the second best wide receiver in the class, maybe the third behind, of course, Marvin Harrison Jr., I think widely considered the best. And then, of course, you've got Malik Nabers, who went to the New York Giants. But Odunze is the guy right there, Mojo. So you've got the quarterback, and now you've got that wide receiver. And that Chicago Bears football team is looking a lot better today than they did yesterday morning.
I don't like it, Babcock. I don't like it one bit. As a Packer backer, a former player for the Green Bay Packers, I don't like it. I mean, obviously, Caleb Williams was going to go number one, right?
Yes.
You said a worst-kept seeker. We all knew it. No surprise there, which is kind of sad for me. I kind of hate when we know who the first overall pick's going to be. It almost makes day one not even worth watching, right?
Yeah.
I mean, all the hype is gone, all the excitement and energy.
Yeah.
But the Chicago Bears walking away with not one but two offensive animals to join their team. I mean, we're talking about two superstar athletes here. Chicago Bears had a fantastic night.
Yeah, I could not agree more, Mojo. And look, we've seen guys who go on to be some of the best quarterbacks ever. I mean, look no further than Troy Aikman and a whole bunch of others who have struggled as rookies. But we've obviously also seen quarterbacks come in first year. Look at the Houston Texans last year, right? So I think there's a lot of reason to be excited. Odunze, everyone agrees that this guy is going to be an absolute stud. He's 6'4". He can do everything. He blocks. He's a tough dude, doesn't take plays off. So I think there is, again, a lot of excitement in the Windy City today, Mojo. What do I know, though? Let's hear from a guy who not only is one of the best Chicago Bears players that we've ever seen, and obviously with the history, the rich history that the Bears have, that is saying a lot. But this is also a guy who still lives in Chi-Town. Olin Krutz, of course, was the Pro Bowl center for Chicago from 98 to 2010, made all pro teams, was actually part of the 2000s all-decade team. This guy was an absolute stud. We talked to him a little bit earlier today. We asked him, hey, what's the reaction? What's the excitement like with the two superstars on the way to the Chicago Bears?
It is an exciting day, and especially where they've come from, the franchise, and since Ryan Poles took over, and we all know about him trading the pick last year to the Carolina Panthers, and how this trade could end up looking for him down the road if Caleb Williams works out in Odunze and all the things he has done for the Chicago Bears now. I mean, talent-wise, maybe the most talented they've ever had on the offensive side of the ball if Caleb Williams turns out to be who people think he can be. So the Chicago Bears are excited for a guy like me who played 13 years for the Chicago Bears, snapped to 20 different quarterbacks. Count them. It was 20 of them. To see a guy like this get drafted, maybe he can finally solve the riddle, the problem, which has been the franchise quarterback for the Chicago Bears. It is an exciting day here in the state of Illinois, in the city of Chicago.
It's incredible, Mojo, to actually have blocked for 20 different quarterbacks. And, you know, they say if you've got two quarterbacks, you've got no quarterbacks. If you've got 20 quarterbacks, you've got no quarterbacks. And I think finally, and look, anything can happen, but the bottom line is Caleb Williams might be the most highly thought of quarterback going all the way back to 2012 and Andrew Luck, if not since Andrew Luck, probably since Trevor Lawrence went number one to the Jacksonville Jaguars. He is going to be a great player, Mojo. And I think the Chicago Bears fans have a lot to be excited about.
There's been a lot of chatter today, or I guess yesterday too, on Twitter about potentially going number six to the Giants. How much have you heard from these teams in the top 10? And do you believe you will be picked in the top 10 on Thursday night?
I mean, I've heard from all of them, you know, but I don't know. I mean, it's not in my hands. You know, you hear a lot of good things, but at the end of the day, you know, the decision hasn't been made yet, you know, so it's out of my control, you know, but I do feel like I should be. I had the potential to be, you know, but like I said, it's out of my control. Wherever I go, I'm going to take advantage of the opportunity.
Mojo, that was Michael Penix Jr., the star Washington quarterback, talking to us, talking to TMZ Sports and saying, hey, look, I think I should be a top 10 selection. It's not up to me, but I hope I am. And what do you know at Mojo? He wasn't just top 10. He was the 8th overall pick last night. But Mojo, it's not without controversy. Oh boy, is it not without controversy. Because this is the one pick, if you were to look at all the 32 picks from last night, Mojo, this was the one pick that has got people talking because Penix was selected by the Atlanta Falcons. Mojo, the Atlanta Falcons, who just a month or so ago signed veteran quarterback Kirk Cousins, there Kirk is with his two adorable kids and his wife. He signed an $180 million deal, Mojo. $100 million guaranteed with the Falcons organization. And then with the 8th overall pick, they go and they take a 23-year-old quarterback, Mojo. And it's got a lot of people debating. Now, look, the name of the game is finding a quarterback. And like Olin Kreutz just said in our first segment, he played for 20 quarterbacks. So you need to have a quarterback if you want to be a successful organization. But it still has a lot of people scratching their heads. Now, Mojo, you wonder, what does Kirk Cousins feel about the selection? I would imagine that he's got to be pretty upset about it, but I don't know. A guy who does know, however, is the general manager of the Falcons, Terry Fontenot, who spoke with the media along with Coach Raheem Morris, and they addressed that question. What's Kirk thinking?
This is for Terry or Raheem, whichever one of you called Kirk when you were on the clock and you tell me about it. What's his reaction?
Well, that's a private. We wouldn't share that, you know, and obviously we...
Reactions are pretty private, right?
Yeah.
You know, he got called on the clock, obviously, because it's a sensitive time with the issues of what you got going on. It's never a right time to talk to a quarterback about those things, and reactions are always going to be private when it comes to those things, unless Kirk decides to tell you some of those things, or whatever the case may be.
But his agents kind of been telling us that they were shocked and dismayed and so forth. That they were informed on the clock.
Yes.
I don't know, Mojo. Make it make sense. I don't understand why you give a guy $100 million guaranteed. You could have gone and got Kirk a weapon, got him someone on defense. I don't know.
This is the Atlanta Falcons saying, no matter what happens, we are going to have a superstar quarterback. I don't care what it costs us. We have to have a quarterback, and we are willing to make insane decisions like this to guarantee this. I mean, this is crazy. Taken at 8th, first of all, I mean, normally on paper, that would make sense, right? I mean, this guy was a superstar player. He played for Washington, a school that he took all the way to the top, and that's not usually a school that ends up in the top two, top four in the country ever. So there's that. But then you have an $180 million quarterback. If you're asking me, that trumps the 8th overall pick when you're throwing that much money at an established guy to come in and be the guy. I mean, this pick has a trade written all over it at some point for somebody. I mean, I can't imagine a world where both of these guys stay on the roster for the foreseeable future.
Yeah, look, the way the game's set up right now, it's not like the old days where you can have a guy sit for 2-3 years. These guys, these quarterbacks come in young and they play. Contracts are shorter. You can't have Michael Penix Jr. sitting behind Kirk Cousins for 3 years and then guess what? It's time to give him a new contract and you never even seen the guy play. I don't get this move at all. It's incredibly puzzling to me. I think it was a stupid decision. We'll see what happens. If he ends up being a great player, maybe. I just don't get it. Entering the NFL draft Taylor Swift may have thought the Chiefs receiving core was down bad, but the Super Bowl champions look to rectify things on night one. When TMZ Sports returns, we'll tell you if the selection of Xavier Worthy got the pop superstar's seal of approval. Next.
The floor is yours, Justin. Go get him, Ben. Yeah.
The Buffalo Bills have traded the 28th pick to the Kansas City Chiefs. With the 28th pick in the 2024 NFL Draft, the back-to-back Super Bowl champions, Kansas City Chiefs, select Xavier Worthy.
There it is.
Welcome back to TMZ Sports, Mike and Mojo. Mojo, that was, of course, one of the last picks of the first round last night. Xavier Worthy, the 28th overall pick. Of course, Xavier is quite literally the fastest man who has ever ever come into the NFL draft. Remember, he ran that 4.21, that blazing fast 40-yard dash, Mojo. But not talking about Xavier's speed. There will be a day for that. Mojo, we're going to talk about Taylor Swift here, because if you thought that Taylor Swift... Big turn there, right? If you thought that Taylor Swift wasn't paying attention to the Chiefs in the offseason, Mojo, you would be sorely mistaken, because Taylor Swift, she was locked into the draft last night, apparently, because after Xavier was selected, the Kansas City Chiefs, of course, excited about their new player. They go to social media and post about Xavier's reaction, along with his family's really cool reaction to their son getting drafted. Look who liked that, Mojo. You see that arrow there? Taylor Swift on social media, Mojo. She's following the Chiefs draft. If you thought she was a fake fan, I don't know what to say now.
Here I thought we were going to talk about Xavier Worthy or maybe the Make-A-Wish winner getting the big announcement, which to me was the best part of this, of course.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Taking it back to T-Swift. She's unavoidable for all of you that couldn't get enough of her during NFL season. Here we go, man. This was a like. Not a comment, not an original post, not a shout out or an interview. She clicked like.
Right. Just
and this that almost
double tap.
Became more viral than the pick itself.
It did.
That little click right there. And I'm not even convinced that she did it herself. Her social media manager or one of the 32 people that probably ran her socials did it for her. So this is just hilarious to me, but it makes sense, right? I mean, she was at so many games this season. She really did put in the time. And for any of those that are underestimating that feat, I mean, put yourself in her shoes. Imagine what a day in the life of Taylor Swift looks like and how difficult it has to be to take that many days off to go to all of these games. So this is a really cool thing, man. And if you're talking about Xavier, not only did you get drafted by the back-to-back champ, not only are you going to be catching passes from Patrick Mahomes, who is now the guy that Tom Brady is retired, but then you get a like from T-Swift. I mean, what a day. In a lot of ways, this is better than being a top five, top 10 pick.
Coming up on TMZ Sports, former All-Pro running back Le'Veon Bell may have rose to fame running the rock, but now he's looking to make a name for himself in the ring. He joins us next to talk about his fight as he looks to take the next step in his evolution as a professional boxer.
There is an absolutely massive fight going down next month. And this guy right here is the co-main event. Obviously, if you're a football fan in America, you are very well aware of former NFL superstar Le'Veon Bell, who has left football behind and is now fighting. Le'Veon, you are part of a big Misfits boxing event. It's at X Series 15. It's going down May 25th on DAZN. You are fighting Tristan Ham. I am so pumped up for this. How you feeling? How's training going? And where's your mind at as you're about to get in that ring again?
Man, I'm super excited, man. Words can't explain to you, the feelings I got. You know what I'm saying? It's been a year since I was last in the ring. You know, the last time I fought was in April of last year, you know? So I had a couple almost opportunities last year, end up not happening. So to be honest, you know, the fact that I got a fight now, man, I'm I can't wait, bro. I'm chomping at the bit, bro. I can't wait to get back in there and show everybody how much better I done got and how elite I am. You know what I'm saying? Because in football, I showed, you know, I felt like I was the best at one point. Now, I'm trying to show them the best in this. I can't wait to really show just how unique of a boxer I am. You know what I'm saying? Like a lot of people, even in football, I feel like when I ran the ball differently. You know, a lot of people are taught like hit the hole fast and I kind of took my time. I was patient. Everybody's kind of on my pace. So in boxing, you know, if I can control 11 men trying to tackle me, just imagine what I'm gonna do with one person in the ring, you know? So I can't wait to show y'all. I'm excited. It's going to be a show. May 25th is going to be a movie. I cannot wait.
Yeah, I can't wait either. I think all the fans can't wait to watch this thing. You know, it sounds like you're having a lot of fun. I mean, how do you compare, you know, practicing football and playing in football games to you know, getting in that gym every day, boxing, and now you got a big fight here?
Yeah, football has definitely helped a lot. I think in terms of preparation, my athletic ability, knowing how to recover and little things like that. Obviously, you know, boxing got its little niches where it's different, especially with training and body regimen and my diet. It's a little different because of the cardio version of it, how long you actually got to go. And then in football, to be honest, to practice, I gotta have a guy, you know, throwing me the ball or, you know, guys blocking for me and right. things like that. I need like teammates. I need actual people to help. Right. Boxing is just, how far do I want to go with it? How far can I take it? Nobody can tell me like, oh, you only can be this much in the gym this much time. Right. You know what I'm saying? Like I can be in the gym all day if I want, you know? And that's the beautiful part about boxing is it's literally how far do I want to go, you know what I'm saying? And I don't have to depend on nobody else.
How far do you want to take it? And what do you think is a realistic goal? Are we talking like championships, belt around the waist?
Yeah, I'm talking about, yes, I definitely need the belt. Definitely got to be a champ. That's ain't no point in just getting in here. I'm trying to be number one and say I'm number one. I did it. You know what I'm saying? Like I did in the NFL. I was first team all pro. Like you got something to show for. If, like I made it to the Super Bowl. Like whatever it is, I made offensive player of the year. And boxing is the belt. I need that belt. Yeah, I need that. I gotta tell everybody I'm the best. This is me. That somebody can get this from me.
I can't wait. The people are excited. Thank you so much, Le'Veon. Again, you can't miss it. It's Misfits Boxing X Series 15, May 25th on The Zone. Thank you, brother. I appreciate you so much, man.
No problem. Thanks for having me, bro.
AEW boss Tony Khan assaulted in the ring earlier this week, but back in the Jags war room with his father on Thursday. See the brutal attack that had Khan down, but not out in Jacksonville when TMZ Sports returns.
Jack Perry back on the scene here in All Elite Wrestling. We can only assume that's what that handshake, that embrace meant.
Absolutely. Tony smiled. Oh, my God!
What the?
Wait, no, no! What the fuck?
No, 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 not this, no.
Welcome back to TMZ Sports, Mike and Mojo. Mojo, as you know, that was Tony Khan, the boss. He's the big guy over at AEW. That was Tony Tuesday night on a Dynamite taping, getting, I mean, I don't know, Mojo, just, I don't know what the name of this move is, Mojo, but it looks like it hurt. Okay, Mojo, so that was Tuesday night. Now let's fast forward to Thursday night. Tony Khan's dad, of course, happens to be Shad Khan, the owner of the Jacksonville Jaguars. This is my favorite story today because I appreciate how committed they are over at AEW to the storyline, Mojo. Look at Tony Khan. He's in the Jaguars war room wearing a neck brace as all the scouts and everybody are trying to figure out who they're going to select last night. I love it, Mojo. It's great.
Well, first of all, Babcock, that move is called a pile driver.
Oh, yeah.
And at least when I was wrestling for WWE, we weren't even allowed to do those moves outside of The Undertaker because they are so dangerous. Oh. You can break your neck or even kill somebody doing that. So we weren't even allowed to do them. They don't follow the same set of rules in AEW, clearly. And now look what happened. The boss man is injured. He was taken out. He had to show up at the draft with a neck brace. Couple funny things here. I love that they acknowledge the pile driver on commentary during the draft. That yes. was very funny to me. And two, how about Tony Khan's dad, the owner of the Jaguars, Shad Khan, sitting behind him, kind of laughing and smiling about this situation. My translation of that, Babcock, is maybe Shad is like, my son's pissing me off. He's gotten too big for his britches. He has his own wrestling federation now. He's the boss man. I don't like it. And there's conflict in the household. So maybe Pops is liking that his son is in the neck brace. He had it coming. But either way, you got to respect the commitment to the grind.
Well, I thought it was truly one of the funniest and the best moments of the entire NFL draft. And it was a fun night.
Number one.
It was the best. All right, we're out of time, Mojo. Everybody have a fun, have a safe weekend. On Monday, we're going to have a bunch of draft coverage. The entire thing, all seven rounds, will be in the books. Then we will truly find out who's the winner, who's the loser, who do we like, not like. Lots of stuff to talk about on Monday, Mojo. Of course, that's going to be a great show. Draft, I mean, come on.
Absolutely, Babcock. It'll make for the best show since today.